You're listening to The Point. What is the future of classical music? You could get a glimpse of it when students from the Curtis Institute of Music visit the Cape and Islands later this month for a series of concerts. The Curtis Institute of Music educates and trains exceptionally gifted young musicians for careers as performing artists on a professional level. As part of the Institute's Learn by Doing philosophy, the Curtis on Tour provides students with real-world professional touring experience alongside celebrated alumni and faculty. And joining us to talk about the Curtis Institute of Music and the importance of music education is Roberto Diaz. He's the director of the Curtis Institute of Music. He's joining us on the phone from Banff, Canada. Good morning, Roberto.
Good morning.
And in our Woods Hole studio, Elaine Lipton. She's the executive director of the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mindy.
All right, Roberto, the Curtis Institute of Music is keeping with the mission of the school. You are also an accomplished musician and an educator. Tell us a little bit more about the Institute and its mission.
Well, the Curtis Institute of Music is actually turning 90 years old this year. And, you know, it has really had quite a history as far as providing, let's say, the world of classical music as we know it with some of the biggest stars and some of the biggest names that we have known. You know, Leonard Bernstein and then Samuel Barber went to school at Curtis also, and more recently people like Hilary Hahn and Long Long and Yuja Wang and many of the big stars of the Metropolitan Opera and conductors, you know, from major symphony orchestras. And so it's been a kind of an amazing thing, because for a school that is only about 160 to 170 students, it has had really quite an amazing impact on this field.
Elaine, the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival doesn't just put on a summer music series. You're also committed to furthering music education on the Cape. So when did you hear about the Curtis Institute and decide to include them in the festival?
Well, we've known about the Curtis Institute for a very long time, of course, and certainly we've had musicians who come to perform during our regular festival who have been through Curtis. The Curtis on Tour program came to me through a contact I have had from an organization called Chamber Music America, and where I met someone who now manages the Curtis on Tour program, and I happened to see him in January, and he mentioned to me that they would be doing a New England tour, and there were some dates that were in between being on the islands and going to Rockport, I think, where they might have time to do something on the Cape. And would that fit in with our festival? Fitting in student concerts for me is one of my favorite things to do and also a challenge. It's hard to find time during the festival itself sometimes to fit them in. We do a lot during the fall and the winter when students are here in school and we can present other students to them. But this just presented a great opportunity for me to do a pre-season concert that would present the Curtis students to my audience, who I think of as a professional audience.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Roberto, you mentioned that the students, they pretty much hit the ground running. They perform, you know, as soon as they get to the school. So what is the process of admissions? I would imagine you've got some pretty high standards. So how competitive is that?
You know, actually, Curtis is the toughest school to get into of higher education, and certainly in North America and maybe in the world. We only accept about 3% of the applicants that we get. So, in fact, you're absolutely correct. The the audition process at Curtis is a very tough one, and it's not my favorite time of the year, let's say, because there's so much tension, you know, around these auditions. Because Curtis is a full tuition, it's a merit-based full tuition scholarship for every student, you know, we keep a very close eye on the numbers of students that we have. And so, you know, there are not set in stone, but fairly specific numbers. We have about 20 pianists at school. And so, you know, if we have half a dozen pianists graduating one year, then we know that we're looking for about six pianists. Mm. one of the things that also makes Curtis a little bit different than most other schools or every other school that I know of is the fact that for 170 students, we have over 100 faculty members.
Wow.
One of the pieces Curtis and Tour will be performing when you come to the Cape in Nantucket is titled Winter Winds. It was written by a 2012 Curtis Institute graduate. Tell us a little bit about the piece that we're about to hear.
This is a wind quintet by Katerina Kramarchuk. She's one of our recent graduates in composition, actually. And it is a piece that we commissioned for Curtis on tour trip. And that's one of the things that we have done also is that with these tours, it has given us the opportunity not just to play music that people may have heard before, but also, depending on the personnel for the tour, we will commission a piece for that. And so recently we did a tour with a piano and a woodwind quintet. And this is a piece that we commissioned for that.
How many of the students participate in the Curtis on tour?
You know, I don't have exact numbers, but I can tell you that if not almost everyone, maybe everyone has already been on Curtis on tour because the program has developed where it is not just chamber music touring programs like the one you just heard with the Wind Quintet. You know, when we go to the Cape this summer, next week, we will have a small chamber orchestra, so this includes more students. And a couple of years ago, we actually took the entire Curtis Symphony Orchestra, so it was 100-plus students, to the Dresden Festival, which is one of the, you know, most important music festivals in Europe. And, you know, the Curtis Orchestra performed twice there. We opened the festival, then there was a concert by the Vienna Phil, and then there was another European orchestra that played, and then we played again. So I think that now we've taken, I would say, at least three-quarters of the student body on these tours, and I would say probably about 20 faculty members have participated, maybe even more. So it's really, and a number of alums also, obviously.
Right.
So it's been an interesting program as far as really, and we put programs together that are really varied. So we send singers on tour all the time, you know, and we're starting to try to get our conductors to go on tour, and we want to include everybody if at all possible.
Right. Elaine, the Curtis on Tour special preseason concerts, July 21st at the First Congregational Church of Wellfleet, and proceeds from the concert are going to help fund the restoration of the church's over 200-year-old church base. So tell us what a church base is.
So church bases are a uniquely American instrument, actually, and they were built in the 19th century to be used in the New England churches. Musical instruments were not particularly welcome by Puritan churches in the early days, but this instrument was made room for. They were built here in New England. They are, in almost all cases, a three-string rather than a four-string bass, which is the kind of bass that most of us are accustomed to seeing. They were used in the churches to basically set up the music, the melodies for people then to sing their hymns. They were ultimately replaced by reed organs and then pipe organs, of course, in the churches that we're all familiar with here in New England. The Wellfleet Congregational Church has this base. It's been there for a very long time. There's no one there anymore who even remembers how the base came to them, when it came to them. For my audience who've been coming to concerts there for 30 some odd years, they will remember it sitting in the corner at the front of the sanctuary. And it was determined that they would restore it that as part of the 250th anniversary of the town of Wellfleet. There's a twin sister base to this base that was brought to Wellfleet for a performance for that particular ceremony. And the base is now with a restorer in New Hampshire, I think. And we're hoping to be able to raise the funds to help finishing of that restoration.
And this is the 35th season of the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival.
It is.
And this is a preseason concert. So just give us some highlights of what's coming up for the season.
Well, we open with a gala in Yarmouth featuring our artistic directors, John Nakamatsu and John Manassi. We'll have a world premiere of a piece that was written for them by composer Gordon Goodwin. And that's just will be followed with the Emerson String Quartet will be performing for us in Wellfleet this summer. The Boston Cello Quartet, made up of four cellists from the Boston Symphony, will be performing. We have a 35th anniversary celebration on August 15th in Wellfleet also that will feature some musicians who've been performing for the festival since the beginning. Mm-hmm. Flutist Carol Winsense will be there. Cellist Lawrence Lesser will be there, and a bevy of others. We have a number of young quartets who will be performing. The Cypress String Quartet from California will be here in Provincetown and in Kitiwit. The Escher String Quartet will be performing for us in Dennis. So it's a very full summer. We have concerts that run from Provincetown to Kitiwit in seven different venues. We have a new venue for us this year that'll be in the Methodist Church in Orleans, which we're very excited about, just being able to spread out a little more.
And Roberta, do I understand you and your wife met performing at the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival?
That's true, actually. many, many moons ago, when Sam Sanders was, he had started the festival and he was still the artistic director of it, he invited my brother, actually, who he played with a considerable amount. You know, Sam was always very active with sort of young, up-and-coming artists, and he got hooked up playing some recitals with Elisa, my wife, and so he, appreciated the way she played, and he invited her to the festival. And that same summer, he invited Andres and I to come and play at the festival. So Sam and Andres and myself and Elisa, we played Schumann Piano Quartet together, and I played some other things with her for violin and viola, and that's how we met, actually, right there in the Cape.
Yeah. Well, we're going to end with a piece from titled Paganini Quartet for Guitar, Violin, Viola, and Cello, and it features you, Roberto. But before we go to that, can you tell us how playing with the students influences you as a performer?
You know, I have to be honest with you. It sounds like, I would probably say this and maybe not mean it, but it is one of my favorite things to do all year. You learn more from these kids than you could possibly ever think you would, and it is such a thrill to introduce them in many ways to incredible repertoire, which they may not have played before. And also to have the opportunity to get to know them better as people. When we travel together, now in September, October, we're doing basically a trip around the world with the string sextet. We go to Asia and then we come back through Europe. And, the six of us are going to get to know each other very well because we're going to spend a ton of time together, and it's one of my favorite things to do, to play with them.
Curtis on Tour will be performing several concerts this month on the Cape and Nantucket. We'll have a link to the location, dates, and times at our website, capeandislands.org. We'll also have a link to the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival concert series. Roberto Diaz, director of the Curtis Institute of Music, and Elaine Lipton from the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Mindy. We'll see you next week, Roberto.
I very much look forward. Thank you so much.
All right. And we'll go out with a Paganini Quartet for guitar, violin, viola, and cello. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. The Point is a production of WCAI, the local NPR station for the Cape, the Coast, and the Islands.